Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in for our Bible study today, our study. It's a brand new study we're going to get into. It's another study in the letter R in the ABCs of Christian Growth, actually the fourth lesson in the letter R, and it's entitled Remission. Remission. What does the Bible say about remission? What is remission? And it's not going to be a very long study because there's not really that in depth to understand what remission is, even though the Bible does use the word remission many times and speaks of remission. And remission is a life and death subject according to the Word of God. Remission is very necessary in the life of a human being, and we're going to get into that. This is study number 18C, and it's called Remission. I hope you've been doing well and that you've been living with joy in the Lord and loving your Lord, loving our Lord. We are very grateful and thankful for what the Lord has done for us, and a lot of times things aren't going as we think that they ought to be going, but we still have joy in the Lord, and we trust Him anyway. That's what we do. And the reason that you're here is because you love the Lord, and you honor Him, and you honor His Word, and I respect you and honor you for that. There's a lot of people in Christendom today, and just that's between them and the Lord, but the Lord Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" And all the other versions other than the King James Version, guess what verse has been taken out? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. I think that's what it is. But study to show thyself approved. Conveniently removed so that nobody has to study or nobody is commanded to study. It is a commandment. The Lord told us, why would He give us 66 books in His book, inspire them, come straight from God to let us know and save us, and then come and indwell us in His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, indwell us and comfort us, and He is our teacher, and teach us the Word of God, and then we resist Him by not following His command and not studying at all. Christians don't study. That's how come they don't know anything about the Word of God, and they're vulnerable, however you say that, vulnerable, to the enemy. The enemy can feed them anything, can lead you astray in anything. And the Apostle Paul and many of the other writers warned us against that, not to be led astray, not to be taken out with every wind of doctrine. And just because somebody says something, that don't make it so. What saith the Lord? That's what we want to find out. And that's what we're going to find out in this study. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you that I love you with Christ's love, and I thank you for joining in on these studies. And some of the time, the devil you talk about, I know he gives you a hard time, and you know what I'm talking about, but he hates these studies. He hates anything having to do with teaching the Word of God. He'll do anything, make your life miserable, trying to find out what God's Word says, because he knows that it's going to help you. And then it's going to keep you safe, and it's going to keep you close to the Lord, and it's going to keep you out of the world and away from the things that are dangerous for you as a Christian, and dangerous for your walk with the Lord. So let's go ahead and begin, and we're going to start in on remission. As I said, this is not going to be a real long study, but we're going to go over what the Bible says and read the verses, and let God the Holy Ghost teach us about remission. Now, remission, you know, as we begin this is a fourth study, like I mentioned before. As we begin this fourth study of the letter R and the ABCs of Christian Growth, you know, it should be mentioned as it has in other studies, that remission is a very important thing that took place during one's new birth. At your new birth, this thing, remission, took place. It took place. There are many different avenues and of salvation and ingredients in the Lord's salvation, in New Testament salvation. Many different ingredients in it, and this is one of them. We went over reconciliation and salvation and sanctification and all the different propitiation and all the different shuns. That, if you will, the I-O-N's, that's mostly what most of these ingredients in your salvation end with, remission, salvation, sanctification, propitiation, many of them. But these are very important factors that took care, that and facts that took came truths that took care, took place during your salvation. And remission is one of them. Now, it's also intertwined in the New Testament salvation. It's all these different things that the Lord took care of and all the different legalities and the mercy and the grace and all the different things that the Lord so perfectly took care of your salvation. Salvation is so perfectly completed in the Lord Jesus Christ and all the different avenues that the Lord provided. And this remission being one of them. Now, it, along with many other truths, has not been taught to new converts in the family of God, as in times before. One thing that makes remission so important to the Lord and to man is that when the topic of remission shows up, unlike some of the other topics and ingredients in salvation, also pops up the topic of bloodshed. This topic right here covers, has to do with bloodshed. Now that'll raise one's ears up. But this particular topic right here has to do with bloodshed when the scriptures bring it up. Let me give you a scripture to show you what I'm talking about. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Did you get that? Remission is something that has to absolutely happen in your salvation for it to be complete. And in order for remission to take place, there has to be bloodshed. The Bible says that in Hebrews. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." So in order for whatever this remission is in your salvation to take place, there had to be some bloodshed. That's pretty important, wouldn't you say? You know, of the many very important truths around salvation, remission is the one truth where blood is shed and life is taken as a requirement for its accomplishment. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Remission. It's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, of course, he's talking Old Testament, but you'd be surprised when we study this Old Testament and New Testament salvation, how all of this is intertwined and what a picture of the Old Testament salvation takes place through the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The Lord is the Lamb instead of physical lambs and oxes and sheep and goats and turtle doves and all those sort of animals that they brought for the bloodshed. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb. And it's a perfect picture of that. Remission is only mentioned in the entire Bible 12 times in one of three different variations. They're mentioned as remission, it's found as the word remit and also found as remitted. Remission, remit, and remitted are the actual words used in your Bible having to do with remission. Another particular fact is that all of its remission, the mentions, all of the mentions are all in the New Testament only. Remission's only found in the New Testament. And that's interesting in itself. Now, the Old Testament does not have the word remission written in it. And some of the authors of Scripture that actually mentioned the word remission, or its variations are Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter mentioned remission, and the Apostle Paul mentioned remission. The Lord Jesus Christ did speak the word remission out of his very own mouth, and something to note also concerning this is that he spoke it while instituting one of the only New Testament ordinances, while instituting one of only two New Testament ordinances. Of course, the other, the Lord's Supper, and the other being baptism. The Lord used the word remission. And, you know, the Lord was only on the earth and in his ministry. He was actually on the earth 34 years, something like that, but actually in his ministry 3.5 years. And out of all the words that he used in 3.5 years to minister and to begin the New Testament salvation in the New Covenant and to try to get the Jews to believe on him, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven he was working while he was on the earth, but that's a whole different study in itself. But the Lord Jesus Christ did speak the word remission out of his very own mouth, and he did it while he was instituting one of the two ordinances, the Lord's Supper. He also at the same time was referring to his very own blood, God's blood, that he was fixing to shed for what? For remission. So you see, out of all the important things to be discussed with his disciples before he went to his death through his broken body and his shed blood, he talked about how remission was involved. You know, this is significant because the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't speak just foolish things. Everything the Lord said mattered, and it still matters. And everything the Lord used, all the wisdom and all the words, he's actually God in the flesh. Every time God speaks, it's very important. But the Son of God was here for 3.5 years, and all the things that he taught and said are very significant and should be taken that way. And one of the issues that the Lord brought up during the Last Supper before he went to the Mount of Olives to be arrested and to be crucified and slain was a remission. And he mentioned that to those fellows. So as we begin the study of remission, it's part of your salvation, a very important ingredient in your salvation, and very necessary that this remission has taken place in your salvation, because if it hasn't, then you're in trouble. And if you're born again and you've believed on Christ the way that the Scriptures say, and you've called upon the Lord to save you and believed on his death, burial, and resurrection, and you're born again, then remission has taken place. And we'll get on into it a little bit more, but as we go into this study, you're going to see how remission, a lot of people say for the remission of sin, well, that means forgiveness, that you've been forgiven. Well, that is so. It is so, and it is part of your forgiveness. But it is not forgiveness in the mercy sense and in the grace sense. It is remission. And what is remission? It is forgiveness, but it is the legality of the forgiveness. It's not the mercy and the grace of the forgiveness. It's the legal part of your forgiveness that took place. You see, God has a bunch of legalities that needed to be worked out, and you'll hear this in some of the other ingredients as you study through, and you study through these like propitiation and all these other sorts of things. You're going to find out that there's a lot of judicial things in God's courtroom having to do with salvation that the Lord also took care of behind the scenes that you didn't know about when you got saved. And as you go into these studies and study God's Word, this used to be elementary stuff that they used to teach people that just got saved. That would be the very first things they would teach new converts, new Christians, about these: remission, propitiation, glorification, sanctification, all of these different things they would teach a new Christian so you would understand what has happened. But a lot of Christians have absolutely no idea. Most of your, even your preachers and the people in this day and age that are supposed to be teaching God's Word and teaching it in truth and teaching it in fact and teaching it the way that the Scriptures say, they're supposed to be teaching you this stuff and helping you understand it. But most of them say that remission is just forgiveness. It means you're forgiven. Well, it does, but it's not the mercy and the grace part of your forgiveness. It is the courtroom and the legality and the judicial part of your forgiveness. Remission. If your sins hadn't been remitted, you're still responsible for them. If God hasn't gotten rid and wiped your slate clean, remitted your sins, then they're still on your account. Forgiveness is mercy and grace to you so that you know you're forgiven and that God is favorable to you now, propitiation. But remission is that it's been wiped off your account. And if that needs to take place, you see that thing? When you go down to the courthouse to pay a fine, you go down there and the judge, say you've been to court and everything else, and the judge says, okay, well, this and this and this and this, and okay, well, you're forgiven. And you walk out of court, but just go over and take care of this paperwork and take care of all these legalities, and your fines will be remitted. You see that thing? There's a legality part of it, too. And that might not have been the best description, but it's pretty close. But let's define remission. Let's just talk about the definition of what remission is and talk about it for a minute. Well, one definition of remission is the act of remitting, or that which is remitted. It's remitting or that which is remitted. Well, what do you mean? Well, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 14. Let's read the scripture. As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. That's what all these studies teach, is your completeness in Christ and his salvation. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's another part of your salvation, a whole another study, spiritual circumcision. Principality and power, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. and whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, here we go. Listen to this. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. Here we go. Listen to this. Having forgiven, there's the forgiveness, having forgiven you all trespasses. There's forgiveness. Now listen to the rest of it. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, the things that were written against you, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Remission. Something that is the act of remitting, or that which is remitted. You see the remitted part of that verse? Blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You say, well, brother, that's just forgiveness. No, that's not only forgiveness. Forgiveness is that the uncircumcision of your flesh he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. There's where the Lord forgave you. But there's something else. The legalities of this salvation and the legalities of this forgiven. You had a stack of sins that were written against you and written against the, that were trespasses against God's law that need to be taken out of the way, that need to be blotted out. And blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, remitted it, took it, remitted, nailing it to the cross. Your account has been cleaned up. You see the difference? Remission is a legality term. It's a judicial term. Remission. Another definition. Now, the first definition was the act of remitting, or that which is remitted. Here's another one. Cancellation, discharge or annulment of a liability or a debt. Now, somebody can forgive you, but you can still owe them. You see that? This is, remission is the part that clears your slate from the debt. Forgiveness is God forgives you. Yes, I'm God. I have mercy. I have grace. I love you and I forgive you. You came to Christ, you came to my son, I forgive you. Now we got to take care of this sin problem that are on the books. The liability, the debt. And remember what Christ said? Remember what the Lord said? My blood shed for what? For the remission of sins. Not only for your forgiveness, because the Lord forgave in the Old Testament. He forgave people's sins when they brought an animal and shed that animal's blood. He forgave them, but the remission could not be taking place. The taking the sins off the books, taking the sins off of their record, it couldn't be done. They were forgiven because there was an animal's blood shed, and the Lord forgave them for that sin. But the sin itself, the trespasses, handwriting of ordinances that was against them couldn't be solved until remission could take place and things could be remitted. Cancellation, discharge, or annulment of a liability or a debt, as the remission of sins is a central idea in the Apostle Paul's theology. Paul speaks a lot about remission. Romans chapter 3, listen to this. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 through 26 says, being justified freely. Now there's your judicial part. You hear that? Justification. Justified, judicial. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, there's another part of your salvation, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for what? For the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, Jesus's, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Cancellation or discharge or annulment of a liability or debt. You owed the Lord because of your sin. You were in trouble with the Lord. The wrath of God was upon you and me. But through Jesus, you have received forgiveness through His grace, redemption, and you're justified freely through whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. You believed on Jesus' sacrifice, His bloodshed, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. What else? Well, another definition, not only is it the act of remitting or that which is remitted, but cancellation or discharge or annulment of a liability or debt. Now, let me make this confusing, because it's not. It's just two different parts of your ingredients of your salvation, of many, one of them being forgiveness. Yes, remission is forgiveness. But it's not only forgiveness, it is also the cancellation and the discharge of your debt. What debt? The things that were written against you that got you in trouble with God. In other words, when you were born with the Adamic nature, a fallen nature, and your spirit was dead. And you lived as an infant. And you didn't even know about sin. You had no idea about sin. But then you grew, and you grew, and you grew, and whatever age it was, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever it is, the Lord only knows, you sinned, and you knew you sinned against God. And you became accountable for your sin nature at that time. And the things that were written against you became legitimate and active and legal against you. And the wrath of God abides on you. You see that thing? Let's move on. What's another definition? It means to pardon and to withhold punishment. Now, this is where we're getting in, and we're going to expand just a little bit more about this remission part being judicial. You've been forgiven when you believed on Christ and you received Him as your Savior. His bloodshed and His righteousness was applied to your account. Okay, but that ordinances that was written against you needed to be taken care of, and before you were forgiven and before you came to Christ, you had some due punishment coming to you. The Bible says the wrath of God abideth on us. Before you're saved and before you... This is what the world does not... I'm not going to say that they don't understand, because they do understand, because they avoid it with everything they got. Nobody wants to talk about God's wrath. Nobody wants to talk about God's punishment. Nobody wants to talk about hell. Nobody wants to talk about damnation. Nobody wants to talk about God burning people in the lake of fire for eternity. All these things, whether they want to talk about them or not, are still valid, and they are in effect against everybody that is not born again. There is a punishment coming. And the Bible clearly states that. Well, when you're born again, remission has to do with that punishment that you were due to get. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 12 through 18. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's us. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. In other words, Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient to pay the sin debt for the punishment that you had coming. To remit it, to get rid of it, to discharge it, to annul it, to annul the liability of the debt that you owed and the punishment you had coming. Remission took care of that. Your sins were remitted. In other words, you were not only forgiven, but the punishment that you had coming is remitted. It's taken off the books. You're not going to get a whooping. You're not going to hell. You're not going to the lake of fire. God's wrath is no longer on you. The punishment part of forgiveness has been remitted by remission. You see that thing? That's the judicial part of forgiveness. Let's get on into it a little bit more. Forgiveness. The Bible says, that verse we just got through reading, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In other words, you got no punishment coming now. You are in good standing with the Lord. The Lord is favorable to you because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of his shed blood for the remission of your sins. In other words, God not only is faithful to you or favorable to you, propitious, propitiation, he's not only able to be favorable to you because of the redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ offered the Father, and the Father accepted it, propitiation, which made him favorable to you and forgive you, but it also struck out all the punishment that you had due coming. Remission. Your sins have been remitted. You see that thing? You see that thing? Here's another definition. Well, what have we talked about so far? Well, we're defining remission. It means the act of remitting, or that which is remitted. You see that? It's not just forgiveness. It means, remission means something has gotten rid of something. It's remitted it. It's taken it out of the way. Something has been discharged. Something has been annulled. A liability or a debt has been discharged or canceled. What discharge? Well, your sin debt. You see, a lot of people don't take that very serious. Sin debt, sin debt, sin debt, sin debt, da 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 da. Man, these people just don't understand where they stand with God. And you learning these different ingredients of your salvation is going to clarify everything that the Lord actually did for you, both through grace, mercy, and judicially in his courtroom. You see how important this remission is? God not only forgave you, he forgave the Old Testament people. But if they died in their sins while misbehaving, they went to hell. But if they died in grace, having paid all their dues, went down and offered all the sacrifices for their sins, and they died righteous. In the Old Testament, you were either righteous or you were a sinner. There was no such thing as grace and salvation. The law took care of all that. And if you abided by the law and you paid your debt and you went down there and offered the whatever it was that you need to offer under the law for your sin, for you beating your wife, or you lying or cheating or stole from your neighbor or moved the property line or whatever it was, when you went down and paid that, God forgive you. But your sin wasn't remitted. And if you died in a sinful state, you died in your sins, you went to hell. In the New Testament, that's been taken care of. Jesus died once for all. And when you come to Jesus, you're not only forgiven because of His redemption, His sacrifice, His shed blood that He offered to the Father, your sins are also discharged, canceled. The liability of the debt is annulled, remitted. Aren't you glad of that? What else does it mean? It means to pardon. It means to withhold punishment. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, you could be forgiven and still be punished in some circumstances, couldn't you? Well, I forgive you, but you're still going to get beat. I forgive you, but you're still going to do 30 years in prison. I forgive you, but you're still going to get 30 stripes. You see, the Lord took care of that. And remission, being forgiven, and Christ's sacrifice, not only did the Lord offer redemption through His sacrifice, and did the Father accept it, propitiation, and became favorable to you and forgive you of all your sins, but the literal physical sins that were written against you had to be something done about them. And that's where remission comes in. It pardoned you. It took away your punishment. It remitted everything that was written against you and all the punishment that you had coming. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 10. I think I read that. Hebrews chapter 10. Yes, I did. All right. Another to pardon or withhold punishment. All right. And another definition is forgiveness. It is forgiveness. But it's more on the judicial legality side of getting rid of the sins that were against you, to where God will not remember them no more. He don't even see them anymore. They're not there because they have been remitted. You're forgiven, but the sins need to be gone and taken away. Forgiveness, pardon, that is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime, as the remission of sins. You're not going to get a whooping no more. You're not going to go to hell. You're not going to burn in the lake of fire for eternity. God's wrath's not on you anymore. You see that thing? It's been remitted. It's been remitted. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. Excuse me. I'm sorry for my voice, but just the way it is this round. And He took the cup. This is what we're talking about when Jesus used the word remission. Listen to what He says. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many," for what? "For the remission of sins." He didn't say the forgiveness of sins, which remission is part of forgiveness. Forgiveness is part of remission, excuse me. But forgiveness is more on its own. Remission, the Lord was saying, not only for the remission. You see, people in the Old Testament, when the Lord was there, He was there under the law. People could get forgiveness from God. All they had to do was go down there and sacrifice an animal. And the blood shed that was shed by that animal, they could obtain forgiveness for that sin from the Lord under the law. Jesus was living during this time while the law was valid and everything was going on like that. But this, what he's saying right now, is the new covenant. What his blood, God's blood, is going to do. You see, under the Old Testament, it could not remit the sins. It couldn't take them away. It couldn't stop the punishment if somebody died in their sin rather than dying being righteous in the Old Testament. Under the New Covenant, under Jesus' blood, when you're forgiven, the Lord said, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Big difference there. Of course you're going to get forgiven. You believe on Christ, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. God forgives you. But what about my sins? What about the guilt of my sins? What about the circumstances of my sins? Am I going to be whipped? Am I going to be punished? Is there going to be any circumstances for my sins? No. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. What is remission? It's not only forgiveness, it's a pardon. That is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime as the remission of sins. In other words, you're not going to get the punishment now. You're forgiven and you receive remission of sins. Everything that's written against you is erased. What was that definition we used a while ago? Cancellation, discharge, or annulment of a liability or a debt. It's gone. And not only forgive you, but took care of your sin debt, too. That's remission. Your sins have been remitted. Jesus said, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. To get rid of what the ordinances that are written against you, that were going to get you some punishment from God, that caused the wrath of God to be upon you, that was going to send you to hell when you left that body, that was going to eventually get you in the lake of fire. All the things that were written against you. But now there's nothing written against you because Jesus' blood remitted all that. Remission of sins. You see that thing? Isn't that beautiful? You see how important it is that that aspect of salvation was taken care of judicially? When you stand before the Lord, you can say, well, Lord, I believed on Jesus and I'm forgiven. You forgive me. He said, that's right. But we still got these problems on the books about your sins. That's not going to happen. Why? Because all your sins and the punishment that you were going to get have been remitted. You see that thing? All these little things that your salvation, that the Lord so perfectly put this salvation together, perfectly, and took care of all the judicial parts of it. The Lord Jesus Christ's blood not only bought you forgiveness and favor from the Lord, from the Father, but also legally wiped out your sin and the punishment that you were going to get. It remitted them. Amen. What else? Well, Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So you see, forgiveness is part of it. It is part of it. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus's blood took care of this thing. Remember when I told you when we started this study that remission was not going to be a real long study, but it was a very, very important part of your salvation. And all these different things, when you put it all together and all the salvation together, when you're first born again, you just say, I believed on Christ and I'm saved and I'm forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. And all that is true. But all the things behind the scene when you believed on Christ that took place immediately when you asked Christ to save you and you believed on Christ, all of this stuff, all these things that were predestined after you came to Christ, all of these things, when the Bible talks about predestination, it's talking about all of these things that we're discussing now. Remission being one of them. The Lord predestined that when you come to Jesus Christ, that if you believe on Christ like His Word says, and you come to Him like His Word says for you to come to Him, then and you believe on His Son and the shed blood that His Son shed for you, and what the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, and you come to the Christ, you were predestined, God already planned it out, that you were going to get remission of sins and that you would no longer be under God's wrath and you would no longer receive the punishment that you had coming to you. They're remitted. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Another definition. What have we talked about so far? We're defining remission. It's the act of remitting, or that which is remitted. It's cancellation, discharge, or annulment of a liability or debt, as the remission of sins is. It's the central idea of the Apostle Paul's theology and the New Testament salvation. And that's really the big difference between New Testament and Old Testament salvation, is remission. What happens with the sins? And the Old Testament is a different story than the New Testament. In the New Testament, under Jesus' blood, God's blood, innocent blood, that was shed, not because of His sins, but because of ours, now the Father can dismiss our sins, annul them, pardon them, and not administer the punishment that we had due coming. Forgiveness, pardon, that is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime as remission of sins. Here's another one. Abatement, to overthrow, to cause, to fail, to frustrate by judicial sentence. There's your judicial part of it. God made a predestined decree that if anybody comes to Jesus, everything that's on their account is going to be annulled, taken away, wiped off the books, and the punishment that they have coming is remitted judicially. As to abate a writ, everything that is written against you, the writ. There was things written against you, man, and written against me in God's courtroom, in God's files. If you're reading the New Testament during the White Throne Judgment, the first thing it talks about, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And they were judged out of the books by their works. What works? Everything that was written against them in those other books that were opened. And the Book of Life was there, and it says, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. Why? Because of everything that was written of their works, all their sins that were against the law, against God's law, trespasses that are written in the books, the writ. It means abatement, to overthrow, to cause to fail, to frustrate by judicial sentence, as to abate a writ, get rid of it, to annul it. It fails, to fail, to come to naught. It's not a legal writ against you anymore. It's been taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, and you don't get the punishment because all the punishment that was due to you has been remitted. I don't know about you, but I like that. That is a tremendous part of your salvation. You don't have to be guilty about it anymore. All you have to do is live the way the Apostle Paul tells us to live as born-again Christians, and just do what's right before your Heavenly Father and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the first. These two commandments are summed up in the whole law, the Bible says. Jesus said that. We're not under the law anymore. Why? Because your sins have been remitted. They've been taken out of the way, annulled. Let me read you something else. This is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 15. Listen to this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, that means you're not a Jew, you was not a Jew, uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision, that's the Jews, in the flesh made by hands. In other words, you wasn't close to God as a Jew and the promises of God that God's relationship with the Jews. You were a Gentile, and you were without God. But let me move on and read some more. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, Jews, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Jesus abolished the ordinances and the commandments of the law that were written against you, that were going to get you punishment from God. And when you believed on Christ and came to him and believed on him, you were not only forgiven, but your sin debt that you were going to be punished for were remitted. Remitted. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 through 26 says this, and almost all things by the law, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. You're going to get it. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Now, they're talking about all the Old Testament sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice was better than them. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, the temple that the Jews built. Like Solomon's temple, it had the compartments in it. It had the holy place and then the holy of holies where the priest would go and make a sacrifice once a year with his hands and all the altar and all that stuff and the laver and all that stuff that had to do with the law. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, of the animals. He would take the blood once a year, every year, as he was instructed under the law. But Christ, remember what we just read, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. In other words, if Christ was going to do it the way the Old Testament was going to do it, he'd have had to went to the cross every single year and get his blood and take it in the holy place. But the Bible says, but now, once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, Christ not only settled things down here on earth, he settled them in heaven too. And your sins were not only written down here on earth, your sins were written in heaven. And something needed to be done about that. And remission took care of it because of Christ's shed blood. Remember the verse? And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and that without the shedding of blood is no remission. Somebody had shed some blood to keep you from getting your punishment, had to remit your sins. And that law was not going to do it. The law was what was condemning you. But Jesus and his sacrifice and his blood didn't just take care of everything down here. He took the matter up to the Father in heaven and took his blood there. And it settled forever, the Lord says. Forever. There's one more definition here. It says to overthrow, failure, or defeat as of a writ. Something that's written. It's the failure of it, the overthrowing of it, the defeat of it. In other words, you're a sinner. You lied. You cheated. You stole. You done this. You done that. And it's all against trespasses against God's law. And it's written against you in heaven. Something had to take care of that. Christ's blood did. It overthrew it. It made it fail. It defeated it as of a writ, the things that were written against you. Remission took the punishment of all the things that were in that writ against you and took them out of the way, nailed them to the cross. Took care of them. They have been remitted. Remission of what? Of sins. If the sins are still there, the punishment is still there. So what remission does is you're not only forgiven, but something had to be done with them sins. And they were, and Christ's sacrifice abated them, overthrew them, caused them to fail. They no longer have power over you anymore because the Lord took them out of the way, nailed them to the cross, and the punishment you were going to receive, the legal judicial punishment that you were due from the Lord and from His law, is no longer against you. It's been remitted. The remission of sins. You see the difference? Forgiveness is not just. Forgiveness is the mercy and the grace side. Remission is the judicial side of handling your sins that were written against you. You see that matter? Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? All right. Well, I think I'm going to read you one more verse here. Let me see. Here we go. It's Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. What a promise. Did you know that? Did you know that your sins have been remitted, but not only remitted, but the punishment for your sins have been remitted? That they're gone? That God not only, that God has no intentions, God has nothing written down anymore to punish, that you have to be punished by. Isn't that neat? I'm glad of that, ain't you? Praise His wonderful name. Praise His wonderful name. Remission. Remission. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. That's just going through the definitions. We'll get into remission proper on this next study, and we'll talk about bringing remission into focus, okay? And we've already focused pretty good on it, but what we have done is we've really just put remission in its place versus forgiveness, because whenever you hear somebody say the forgiveness of sin, the first thing most of the time will be, or remission of sins, the first thing you're going to hear is, well, you're forgiven. You receive remission of sin. You receive forgiveness. Well, yes, that's true. But there's a lot more to it. It goes to the judicial part of God's courtroom. You see that? And it gets rid of that punishment that you were due because of your sins that have been forgiven by grace and mercy. You see that? Okay. Well, all right, we're going to stop right there. If you got a pencil or a pen or paper or however you want to do it, you can get all of this stuff. It's already printed out and already there for you to look at on Barnhouse Ministries. That's your site of study there. It's online there. You can go and find all of this stuff of the ABCs and more if you wish. And if you don't, here's the scriptures. You can just jot them down. But I'm going to give you what we've talked about today. You ready? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 was the beginning. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 14. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 through 18. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 15. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 through 26. And the last one for today, brothers and sisters, is Acts chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. I know it's a little staggering to get into this study, but we got into it, didn't we? And we'll continue it on our next one. And I love you with Christ's love, and I appreciate you so much. Not because you, I mean, I do appreciate you studying with me. I like studying with y'all, but mostly that you love your Lord and His Word so much that you would study it anywhere. God bless you for that. And continue. Don't you quit. Don't you ever, ever quit. And don't you let nobody make you change. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 24 not to meddle with those that are given to change. You stay with your Bible and stay with what God, the Holy Ghost, has taught you what His Word is. You stay with that. It's good enough, and it is strong enough, and it's everything that you need. We read that today, that Christ is the fullness of everything that we need and His Word, and that's what we're studying. Nothing difficult about what we've been studying today, is it? Remission's pretty easy to understand, as long as we put it in place and just read the Scriptures. The Scriptures define themselves, and they complement each other. So we're going to stop right there, and I love you with Christ's love, and I'll talk to you on the next one. We're going to get talking about bringing remission into focus. Bringing it into focus, and then we'll talk about things that remission is based upon. Okay? All right. Well, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. The Lord bless you and keep you and keep your health and pay your bills and keep your family and all that you love. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.